Thank you. Happy Father's Day. One thing we all have in common is we have a mom and a dad. Yep. I love being a dad. I love my sons. I love their families. And I talk a lot about my grandkids. But since it's Father's Day, I thought I'd start out with a proud dad moment that I experienced yesterday. I didn't see it coming. I really didn't. Not at 38 years old, but I'll tell you a little background. So I went to a dance recital. Like, that's a whole new world. I had never been to a dance recital before because I had four sons. But now I have granddaughters, 4 and 2, and they were in a dance recital. One thing I learned in a dance recital, there's 34 acts. Like, it's an all-day event. It's amazing. And so I didn't quite make it all day, but I did have some inside scoop on when to arrive, so I did. So I went, and it was great. It was wonderful. The kids, oh, man, Phoebe, Maggie, adorable, right? But then there was this moment in Act 33 where they invited some parents to come up and to surprise their children. Yeah, and one of those parents was my 38-year-old son. Right? So this is my proud dad. Well, I caught it on video here. Thought I'd share it with y'all. Yeah, no, it's amazing. The tutu. He's in the tutu in back there. The blue tutu. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at... Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it... Seriously, what a moment. What a moment. I mean, the tutu, the moves, the practice and discipline that took to hone those skills. Just, man. Yeah, seriously. Mind-blowing. You might have recognized some other minions up there in disguise. There were the Brian and Kathy Dorgan and plus some others. You know, it's hard to tell in costume, but it was amazing. I think there were some Shelton kids there yesterday too. So anyway, you never know what's going to come in life. So, you know, thank God for that. So speaking of proud dad moments, today our message is called Heavenly Rewards Part 2. I did Part 1 in May and about a few weeks ago. And so this is Part 2. They're standalone messages, but if you want to hear Part 1, you can go back and listen to it. But in Part 1, we introduced the idea of the judgment seat of Christ, which just sounds like scary in a way. The judgment seat of Christ, which is called the Bema judgment, because that's what the Greek word for it is Bema. It's the Bema seat judgment. It's the judgment of believers for reward. The Bema seat is where the judges at the Olympic events, which were really big in Greece, like in Corinth and in Greece at the time, they had the Olympic Games. They also had the Isthmian Games. The judges would sit in the Bema seat, and they would hand out the awards at the end of the competition. And so that's the context for this when we look at 1 Corinthians. And so I'm going to share a scripture that I ended with last time, and just to kind of give the context for what we talked about then, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. And then today, as we're talking about heavenly rewards, let's just think throughout the message today about our Father God and giving him a proud dad moment every day of our lives. That's possible. He loves us. He created us with a purpose. He's equipped us. He's skilled us. He's given us talents and abilities and created us intentionally, just the way we are. And it brings him great pleasure. So just hear that as we talk about everything today. So 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15 says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I'm going to sum that up and just say, Jesus is our foundation for our life. He is our salvation. He is the rock of our salvation. He is who we stand on. He is who we build our lives on. Then it says, "Now if anyone builds on the foundation," Jesus, our salvation, the rock of our salvation, "with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. I'm going to interject here. The day, or that day, whenever you see that in Scripture, we're going to see it in a couple Scriptures this morning. Whenever we hear or see the day or that day, it's referring to this judgment seat of Christ. Martin Luther, the founder, one of the founders, the founder of the Lutheran Church, and involved in the Reformation. He said, "I have 2 days on my calendar. I have this day and that day." 2 days, this day and that day. And that day informs how I live on this day. Right? That day informs this day. Continuing. So for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. I made the point last time that some of us are going to smell a little smoky, but we'll be in. It'll be great. We'll be there in heaven, but anyway, you get the idea. So what's being introduced here, though, is this idea that there's ways we can live our life that last forever. Yes. That's gold, silver, precious stone living. But there's also wood, hay, straw living. That doesn't last forever. So another way to summarize it is, one is worthwhile living. The other is worthless. It doesn't last. And the other concept I want to introduce right now is, when we talk about heaven, we're talking about eternity, right? We're talking about that which lasts forever. If you think about it, if it lasts forever, that's more real than many of the temporary type things we experience down here. So heaven, in a way, even though we can't see it, is more of a reality in life than life on earth itself in some ways. Fascinating when you think about that. So all of us know that we have some wood, hay, straw works in our life. But just think for a moment. Just think. We can live in such a way that the things we invest our life in will last for eternity. Incredible. That is incredible. You can't get more meaningful than that. So the word reward here is the Greek word misthos. And it means pay for service, good or bad. It means dues paid for work. It means wages or reward. You could think paycheck. I get a paycheck. I did some work and I got paid. That's what the word reward means. It's tied very directly into what you did, the work you did, and the value of that work. Such a foreign concept, because we know that our salvation is freely given, right? So as believers, we know that, and we focus on that, and that's the only way we're in the game. I call it, now because we're saved, we're in the bonus round. We made it. It's amazing. So we've won. That's incredible. So now what do we do? That's what we're talking about this morning. So the Greek word misthos is also used in the following scripture. See if you can pick it out as we read this scripture. Romans 4, 3 through 5, New Living says, "For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith." When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Did you pick out the word misthos? Who has a guess? Which word? Wages. Exactly. Wages. So this is a confusing concept, because here in Romans 4, 3 through 5, this whole idea of misthos isn't presented in a very favorable light. It's basically saying that your salvation will never be a reward. It will never be wages due. It's never going to be, I worked hard enough and finally I've tipped over the scale to the righteous side of things. And now I get the reward of righteousness. I get paid because I've done so good. It's never that. There's not one person that's ever going to receive right standing with God that doesn't receive it as a free gift. So that's where we start. We start with it as a free gift. The difficulty is that same word, misthos, where it says that our salvation will never be that. It'll never be wages due or a paycheck. Is the same word for reward that we're supposed to work hard to earn. Heavenly reward. This is beyond salvation, right? We're saved. We're already in. Now what do we do with the righteousness that we've been given freely? We go out and live righteous lives. We go out and obey God with it. We're empowered to live in a whole new way. In Romans 6, it says we're new creations in Christ. That's how we live now. Because we're a whole new people and we have to get whole new ways of thinking and doing. So we're given righteousness, right standing with God. Salvation is a free gift by grace through faith. You cannot earn it. It's the most precious thing that exists. And God freely gives it to anyone who believes and asks him for it. This morning, if you haven't asked him for it, please do so this morning. Don't leave without asking him for it. Without asking him for it, it's the smartest thing, best thing you could ever do with your life. That will be a decision that lasts forever. There'll be people here after the service. Please come up. Please come up. Amen. So again, I said that the word wages here is the same word as in 1 Corinthians 3:14. You can't earn one, but you can earn the other. You can't earn salvation, but you can earn these rewards. So I'm just distinguishing that so we have that clear. So this week, our key scripture is Revelation 22:12. This is the last chapter in the Bible. It's the last one, chapter 22 of Revelation. And 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to reward each one as his work deserves." Incredible. This is Jesus talking. And coming quickly probably means he's coming suddenly, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. We're supposed to anticipate his coming like he could be coming today, but he very well may not come today, but he will come suddenly, so we always need to be ready. And he's bringing his reward with him. Isn't that, I read things like that. It's so easy just to, okay, well, that's cool. That's nice. But what does that mean? He's bringing his reward with him. I mean, when Jesus says something, that's, you know, we should listen. Amen. And want to understand it. He's going to reward each one as his work deserves. Well, I don't deserve squat. I deserve nothing. I know me. But he has redeemed me. And there's parts of his life that he's empowered by his grace. Well, empowered my entire life by his grace. And there's parts of my life where I've actually appropriated that and lived that, right? To his honor and glory. And there's other parts where I stumble and fall and mess up. But the fact is that we can honor God with our lives. Yes. We can glorify him. We can please him. You know, this idea, it's not just a New Testament idea. It's not just at the end of the book. It's in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 17:10 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." Again, you have that same concept of what their deeds deserve. Such a foreign concept in so many ways. That's why I've loved studying this message. You know, we live in a reward-based culture, so it's not like we don't understand rewards. You know, we work hard for the reward of a paycheck. We work hard for that. Some live for Friday. You know, that's the reward for not having quit on Monday through Thursday. I often work hard so that I can play hard, right? Who does that? Anybody out there work hard so you play? I work hard so I can play hard. I'm going to go to the Oregon coast next week. I've been anticipating it, looking forward to it with my whole family and grandkids, all that. It's going to be amazing. But I have to work really hard ahead of time because you got to pay all the bills. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to make sure everything's okay. All your obligations are taken care of so you can go. So anyway, you get the idea. But helping others, that's a reward. Actually, helping others can be super rewarding. For you, it may be a reward, maybe spending time in God's creation, maybe backpacking, hiking, hunting. Anybody like doing that kind of thing? Yeah. you know, feasting together can be a reward, right? Let's hear it for Father's Day feasting. Yes. Oh, yeah. Looking forward to some rewards together. But it's a fascinating idea to me that God would incentivize our attitudes and our behavior with this concept of heavenly rewards to motivate us to do the right things. It's almost like he knows us. You know, like on my grand ventures I've mentioned with my grandchildren, I tell them to stay close to Grandpa and obey Grandpa, and we're going to have so much fun. You know what? They actually do it. They stay close and they obey because they know. They've learned, we're going to have so much fun, so I'm going to do that. You know, that's just like it is in our relationship with God. He's out for our best. You know, if we stay close to him and obey him, life is always more rewarding that way. He always has our best in mind. Always. Problem in life is we have competing inputs and forces in our lives coming our way. According to a recent study from Arizona Christian University in the Cultural Research Center, and this is a significant entity, and they do studies all the time, but they did this along with George Barna, a Christian sociologist. And it says, despite 2/3 of Americans identifying as Christians, that's 2/3, that's the majority. Only 4% of American adults hold to a biblical worldview. Wow. 4%. That's what they just determined in 2025 here. 4% of American adults hold to a biblical worldview. That's the culture that we live in. Those are inputs we get every day through our technology, our media, our news feeds, and all of that. It's not coming from a biblical worldview. We need to be careful to guard our heart and our mind and keep it in Christ Jesus. I can't say that strong enough because I'm speaking personally. It's true for all of us. We got to get this in our heart and our mind. We got to adhere to it, stick to it, abide in him. We have to understand that we're not going to learn what is biblically true from culture. We must be so intentional about our pursuit of biblical truth. That's why we offer all the Bible classes we do around here, and why we have 35 people signed up for Carpenter Series, and there's a mirror class going on. It's amazing, and look at you guys doing all that. Good job. Way to pursue truth. So what are these heavenly rewards that Jesus is referring to? You know, at the end of our life in heaven, we're all going to want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what are the targets? You know, what are these? What's going to be rewarded? Let's take a look. We're going to look at 5 crowns that are referred to in Scripture. Crowns or awards or rewards. The Bible mentions that Jesus is going to give these out on that day. Remember, this day and that day. So on that day, these rewards are going to be given at the judgment of the believers, at the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema judgment. So raising sons, the idea of crowns and kings, you know, they did that a little bit, but they didn't do that like a lot. Granddaughters, on the other hand, the whole idea of being royalty, you know, it's a whole different thing. Like, it is like a world that I had never like knew about or knew that existed. So when it comes to playing royalty, and you know, no wonder they look for Prince Charming. For guys, they don't really know much about Prince or being charming, and so that's why we have some disconnect between the genders. But I do have a picture of what my granddaughters asked for Christmas, and so here's some pictures of Phoebe and Maggie and what they got for Christmas. Had everything to do with tiaras and dressing up like. Oh, look at the shoes and the jewels and the. Incredible. It's like a whole new thing. It's fun. And they're fun. But crowns, these are the things that 5 crowns are talked about in Scripture as a reward. The first one, the victor's crown, incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27 in the Holman translation says, now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. So if you're an Olympic athlete, it affects your whole life. If you're a Christian, it affects your whole life. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away. but we a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly. I just have to interject here. I don't know if I've ever run aimlessly. Like, if I'm going to run, I'm going to put the effort into running. There has to be some purpose behind it. But anyway, it's what the scripture says here. But I think what they're trying to say is that many of us live aimlessly. So therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one who's beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified, Paul says. In the NIV, it actually says disqualified from the prize. He's not talking about being disqualified from salvation. He's talking about being disqualified from any reward. Again, because he's not working to get salvation. That's a free gift, right? How we live matters, though. Yes. So we are in heavenly reward training. That takes discipline. It takes focus. It's so important to know what our purpose for life on earth is so that we know what purpose we're training for, so that we're not running aimlessly. Do you want to know what your purpose is? Yes. Okay, here it is. I'm going to give it to you. In a sentence, it says this. Well, maybe two sentences. It is to know, love, and serve God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So to know, love, and serve him with all that you are. And then the second one is then to take that knowledge and that love and that service and to love our neighbor with it. To know him, to love him, to serve him with all that we are. I know I added to it. It says to love the Lord our God with all the heart, mind, soul, strength. But we got to know him. And then that results in serving him with all that we are. Titus 2:11-13 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. We receive that freely, right? When we ask him for it. But it teaches us something, it says here. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Remember those competing forces in our life. So our salvation teaches us to say no to those things because we're new people in Christ. And we recognize the old man ways and we say, no, not that. That's ungodly. That was the past me. That's not the present me. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ on that day. Second one is the crown of rejoicing or evangelism. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, after all, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? Paul is saying this to the Thessalonians, and his answer is, it is you. It is you. Paul is saying that you, Thessalonians, that have given your life to the Lord through our ministry, you're our reward, you're our crown, you're our joy. There's going to be such joy in heaven when we see people there with whom we have the privilege of sharing the gospel or influencing in some way to tip toward Jesus and salvation. So many people need Jesus. We need to be on mission in our lives. You may not even know sometimes the impact that you've had in a person's life. Matter of fact, maybe most of the time we don't know. You know, those of you who lead or have led a campus or a community Bible study are involved in CCF or JCDs or VBS or missions or kids and rigs or LFIC, Living Faith International Community. Or those of you who are sharing the gospel with your coworkers or on a plane or wherever you are, bring in the joy and the presence of God with you. You're doing it. You're doing this. You're doing the crown of rejoicing, evangelism. You're training for that reward. I think back to, you know, we had our sons and they were involved in CCF and leading Bible studies. I remember back in 2008, Miranda Troll, Miranda Tellini, back then, and Troll now, was leading a Bible study in Stevenson Dorm, and my son Jake was assisting. And then I remember Jake talking about this crazy guy named Chad Borg, and then some of the crazy things they did. And I've learned later through their dad, Eric, Chad Borg's dad, Eric here. Eric was telling me, oh yeah, I'd get these calls from Chad and going, and Chad would be, because they were concerned. Their son went off to college. They didn't know how he was going to be doing. They wanted him to follow Jesus. They were so happy he got plugged in to a group that loved Jesus. But he'd get these calls from Chad and go, oh, Dad, you know, I found a great group. Yeah, we do crazy things. You know, there's this guy named Jake. He brings snacks to Bible study. And Eric's going, what guy brings snacks to Bible study? Anyway, to bring snacks. And then they do crazy things. So they did things like, you know, this is very, like, you know, such depth of ministry. They'd lick marshmallows and throw them on the wall and just kind of watch them slowly roll down. You know, things like that, you know. It's amazing what God can use to draw somebody to himself. It's amazing. But Chad, you know, I remember at the time, I remember meeting Chad. He was in our home, but he was so burdened and concerned for his twin brother, because his twin brother was in Germany, and he was partying it up, and he wasn't saved, his twin brother Carl. So Carl was in Germany partying it up, not saved. But eventually Carl comes here and he gets saved, right? Praise God for that. Carl speaks on Sunday morning here a couple of weeks ago, leads CCF, and now Chad and Carl both are serving Jesus like crazy here. Next generation, they have CJ, and not just that, Mom and Dad, Eric and Jane come. So here's some pictures here of Carl and Chad back in the day. Oh, the crown. He's doing his crown training there. Carl is. There they are at CCF shirts. That's great, Carl and Chad. And here's the next one there. I love this one. Yeah, look at that. That's their mom, Jane. This is like a mom's weekend. Isn't that great? Good-looking guys. I've learned how to tell the difference. They can't trick me anymore. So cool to see what God has done, though, right? There are so many stories like that. So many stories. You all have stories like that. It's incredible what God does. So when you're doing things that might seem unimportant, it's important. Those marshmallows rolling down the... Anyway, it's all important. Number three, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Are we on our tiptoes? Are we on our tiptoes anticipating his coming? Yes. Is that consuming our day? I mean, our thinking, are we even aware that he's coming? Let's be aware. I remember one thing that really attracted me to my wife, Tracy. Many things, but there's one thing that I wanted to mention now, and that is when she would worship, she would be standing on her tiptoes. She just wanted to get as close to her. She can lean in, and there was just such a zeal and eagerness about her, an anticipation for Jesus. I just found that so attractive. Now, I mean, I worship God too during the service. I wasn't just noticing how she was worshiping, for those of you that are judging me out there, but I mean, you got to notice sometimes, so whatever, give me a break. All right. You know, the best way I can describe this or interpret the scripture, because you might be confused, what's this crown of righteousness? I thought we got that freely. Well, we do. But what do we do with our crown, our gift of righteousness, our right hand with God? Well, then we live a righteous life. So this righteous life is looking forward to him. This crown of righteousness ties in with eagerly looking forward to his appearing. So how does this work? I think the best way I can do it is just with a little story, an illustration. You know, Dad, think about this. Dad says to his two kids, do your chores while I go out on an errand, and I'm going to come back. Okay? So the two kids are there. One does their chores. The other one doesn't. Which one is most looking forward to Dad's appearing? The one who did their chores and obeyed Dad. They're really excited for Dad to come home because they know they're going to hear, great job. Well done, good and faithful son or daughter. They're going to hear the other one. Well, they might receive some instruction, correction, training. discipline. You know, this is the idea. There's a correlation between our obedience and how eager we are for his appearing. Yeah, we need to be all in every day on it, right? There's never a day we're not a Christian, right? It's 24/7, 365, the rest of our life. Crown of glory, number four. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4 says this, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, and not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So this not only applies to pastors, but it applies to anyone who disciples, loves, shepherds others. Parents, you have a little flock at home to shepherd. It can apply to anyone doing ministry like Carpenter Series TAing or mirror grading or BFTAing or administration or small group leading or VBS, all the ones I mentioned earlier. It can apply to all that. But, you know, I'm thinking of some people today that I just like to mention, not to take away from their crowns, but I think of John and Lucy Carlson. You know, these people have so faithfully cared for so many in our church. Yes. Pastor John sends out a daily email for you young ones. You don't know that. For us older people, we know that. He sends out a daily email full of scripture and life to all of those in their upper years, more seasoned years. They're given to hospitality. They provide community for the more senior members of our congregations. They celebrate everybody's birthday in their group. They have, well, of course, around a feast, you know, they've learned how to do this. They lead small groups and minister in Bible foundations, sometimes in multiple classes in a year. They're loving, gentle, caring shepherds who have rolled up their sleeves to love the sheep and to get involved. I just, you know, they're an example. They're an example to me. I want to love like that. And then number five, the crown of life. James 1:12 in the ESV says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You know, we all have tests and temptations. We could all probably make huge lists, right, of the tests and the temptations, the trials that we have experienced or are presently experiencing. No one's exempt from that. No one is. Tests often come in the area of our health, our finances, our relationships, our careers, maybe our inner thought life. Jesus is our example of suffering well. You know, he took a crown of thorns that we might get a crown of life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And that really says it well to me. He took that crown of thorns to put us in the bonus round. Amen. Right? To save us. What are we doing with the sacrifice he made to provide a new life for us? Are we living the new life? Yes. Remain steadfast under trial. Stand the test. You know, the word blessed here, it's incredible. It means happy. It's hard to think of suffering, trials and testing, and happy in the same sentence, right? I don't put those together, but the kingdom of God is an upside-down, flip-flop kingdom, and the rules of that kingdom are different than the world in its ways. But happy is the man who remains steadfast under trial, who doesn't quit, who stays in there with Jesus. You know, we might say, I hate this situation, but I love you, God. Help me through. We don't have to love the situation or the circumstance, but we love him, so that affects what we do with the situation and the circumstance. This last year, April 4, 5, and 6 of 2024, I slept in a very bad bed. I call it the bed from hell, at an Airbnb in Iowa. I went to a funeral of my nephew. That was a sad situation, but I slept in this bed. I felt great going into that trip physically. I slept in this bed, though. At the end of it, I ended up with a disc bulge. Anybody ever have back pain out there? Ever have disc bulge? I ended up having this sciatica. I remember one moment during that year from April 4, 5, 6 on. I mean, I was in intense pain, chronic pain. It was amazing because I was working out hard before that, and I felt great physically. Felt really good. And working hard to exercise, try to, so I can play with my grandkids and do all that stuff, right? And then I injure myself sleeping. Go figure. Injure myself sleeping. How do you do that? But I was in pain. I remember Pastor Bill saw me at the building supply. I'm shuffling along the parking lot like I, you know, thought it might be later, many decades later. But he going, are you okay? I go, no, I'm not. Give me great empathy for anyone dealing with chronic pain. There's nothing like that. But it puts you in a spot of being so needy and just clinging to him just to make it. And I was in that spot, you know, and for a good portion of that year. And praise God, by his grace, I'm coming out. I'm probably 96% now, but getting there. And I'm so grateful for every day that I can move without pain. Anyway, I relate. I would love to pray for anybody in pain too, because I find myself doing that a lot. I'm grateful for the prayers I received and grateful. But I'm just saying that we, even with something like that, I learned in a new way what it meant to persevere through a trial. And I don't know that, you know, nothing's like with you constantly like pain. And so anyway, but God's big enough, he's good enough, and he helps us through, and he helped me through. Even that time, there was times of greater intimacy with him as I clung to him through that year. But did you know, on a little lighter subject here, did you know that they have done psychological studies on why dad jokes exist and what their purpose is? And this is true science. This is true science. It is not a joke, even though it's about a joke, but it's true science. By continually telling their children jokes that are so bad that they're embarrassing, fathers push their children's limits for how much embarrassment they can handle. Seriously. No, this is good. It is. Yeah, seriously. No, there's more. They show their children that embarrassment isn't fatal. They can suffer through it. They'll be okay on the other end. Dad jokes may have a positive effect, toughening up the kids who cringe at them. The kids learn resilience and how to suffer through the embarrassment. Yes. So, to test you a little and help build your resilience, here we go. Just real quick, kind of a bum, 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 bum approach here. A duck walks into a pharmacy and says, give me some lip balm and put it on my bill. Dad, did you get a haircut? No, I got them all cut. For me, it doesn't take very long anymore. Anyway, which bear is the most condescending? A panda. There's a few of you out there that I really want in my joke audience because you laugh at anything. I love it. What do sprinters eat before a race? Nothing. They fast. And you know what nachos are? They're tacos that don't have their life together. So you guys are now stronger in the Lord because of this. So, yeah, way to suffer through and endure this. Crown of life is waiting you in heaven. It's training for your heavenly reward here. In conclusion, what will we do with our crowns in heaven and with our rewards? What will we do with those? Let's look at this in Rome. We read about it, actually. Revelation 4, 10 through 11 says, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The elders and the saints cast crowns at Jesus' feet to demonstrate their own recognition of how unworthy they are to wear them. Only Jesus is worthy. They're too humble to accept to themselves the glory and honor that rightfully belongs to Christ. Jesus puts it on their head and he says, no. They say, this is yours, Lord. You're the only one that made that possible. Jesus goes, no. I want you to have it. And they go, no, Lord. This is yours. You deserve this. This is yours, Lord. And they cast it at his feet. Crowns and rewards are the currency of heaven. This is what we get to spend to glorify God. Heavenly currency is so different than earthly currency. Money affects everything we do. It took money for you to get here and put your clothes on and drive your car. It takes money to have this building and all that. Money affects everything. But there's another currency, a currency of heaven. And I believe the currency of heaven is that which brings glory to God. And guess what? We all have lives right now that we can spend in that way. And he rewards that. And then when he brings that reward, then we get the privilege of having, storing up our treasure in heaven, you know, maybe having a couple. And then we get to take them and we go, this is yours, Lord. The only way that was possible is because you put me in the bonus round even to be able to do anything good. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for that privilege. That's a privilege. So I want that picture to inform life right now. We get the privilege of glorifying him and honoring him with our lives. That's the greatest privilege we'll ever have. The fact that we can do that. Thank you, Jesus. So living in such a way to qualify for a heavenly reward is also the most rewarding life that you can have. There's no greater rewarding life than that. Let's pray and live daily. Your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done. Enjoy the journey now. Ask yourself every day, how can I tell him how much I love him? By how I think and do. Let's press toward that prize of the high calling of God. And let's enjoy bringing pleasure to our Father God. Yeah, amen. God bless you all.
Ask that today we would reflect back to you all the glory that rightly belongs to you. Father, that our lives would proclaim to you this Father's Day, Happy Father's Day, Lord. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. God, if there's areas of my life where I've absorbed what rightfully belongs to you, where we just repent now in Jesus' name. And we set ourselves to rightly reflect glory back to you, that we would be able to enjoy with you now and in eternity the heavenly rewards that you offer, that we would get to make this exchange that was just so powerful, the crown on us and the crown laid back at you and the crown on us and the laid back at your feet, God. What a joy, Lord, to honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. As we conclude, we just have a couple of announcements.
I hope more than anything, if in the house today during worship, that especially if you're new, that you can tell that this is a church that loves Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A huge heart. Our pastors, our leadership team, a huge heart for Jesus Christ. We love Jesus. And I can promise you this, before we even get the opportunity to meet or to know you as a visitor, as a first-time guest, we love you too. And we would love the opportunity to get to know you. And if you're new, we have a gift for you back at our guest services desk. So please stop back there, grab a gift, give us the opportunity, the pleasure to get to know you, and just show you all the different ways that you can get connected to a community, a body of believers who love Jesus Christ and love you as well. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Those of you watching online, happy Father's Day to you. If you have need for prayer, please come forward. We'll have a prayer team up front, a ministry team that would love to pray with you. And fathers, we have a special gift for you as well. If you'd like a free beverage at the Ground Level Cafe, please stop by and you can get a beverage there. You might have to bring proof of fatherhood, maybe a child, picture of a child. I don't know what they're taking back there, but we would love to give you a gift as well.
I'll send you back there with Hudson.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, to the rest of you. We love you. Go get your heavenly rewards.
And don't forget the photo booth in back too.
And the photo booth for fathers. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Pastor Tom, for an incredible message this morning. That was good, just like we anticipated it would be. One of the things that I thought about as Pastor Tom was closing was one of my love languages is to give gifts. I love to give gifts. And there's something so special about watching the person open the gift or thinking about what would bless them and knowing what they need or what they would be blessed by. When I think about it, none of that comes from me. Even the idea oftentimes is Holy Spirit inspired. God will put that idea in my heart. The resources to give that gift and the ability to go and give it, whether it's by mailing it or giving it in person, all of that comes from the Lord. But I so look forward to being able to give to others what God has given to me. So as I think about, as Pastor Tom talks about, those five different crowns that we get to have in heaven, I think about the joy that I look forward to be able to take whatever crowns I ever earned here on earth and to be able to cast them at his feet, give him back what he gave me, because the life I lived is all because of him and his graciousness. I think about also, Dave Ramsey has this quote. I'm going to read it because I might mess it up otherwise. He says, Dave Ramsey does Financial Peace University, if you don't know, but he talks about stewarding well the gift that we have in our finances. And he says, live like no one else, disciplined, like Pastor Tom talked about in his message. Be disciplined, live like no one else, so that you can later live and give like no one else. And I really want that to be a testimony of my life. And I'm sure many of you watching have the same desires to live our lives like no one else, so that we can live and give our lives back to Jesus because he is worthy. Thank you all for joining us this morning. I pray that you'll be blessed today, blessed for this Father's Day. Thank you for joining us. A few shout outs to Lana and Lisa, Collins, Zach, Kai, Chanel, Emily and Allison. I would love to be where you're at right now. Lashana, Mark and Lacey and family. Good to hear you guys are joining us this morning. Tara, praying for the little guy. Loretta, Dondi and Connie, Shipley's, Shelly and Olson's, as you pack up from camp. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you back here in Pullman. God bless you guys. On behalf of Pastors Phil and Carrie Vance, we pray that you would have a blessed week, a blessed Father's Day, and we'll see you next week.
You have been watching the weekend services of Living Faith Fellowship, a Spirit-filled local church serving the communities of Pullman, Moscow, and the surrounding region. We are a group of people who love God and believe in His power to change lives. If you responded to the teaching today or have any questions about Jesus, the Bible, or how to grow in your walk with God, we would love to get in touch. If there is anything we can do to serve you, please let us know. You can connect via social media, our website, or by calling the church at 509-334-1035. God bless you and have a wonderful week.